Anita's Homecoming, a novel by Claes Johansson, narrated by Jerry Allen, for Saga Egmont. The customs officer, smiling at her, pushed Anita's passport back across the counter. "Welcome home, Miss Larson."
"Thank you."
She struggled to reciprocate his smile. "Here it comes," she thought, recognizing the dull pain in her abdomen, the tension in her lower back. She almost whispered,
"Could you tell me where, the ladies?"
He pointed discreetly. She returned her passport to her handbag and set her course in the shown direction, looking around her. It was a peculiar sensation to be back, as if you go to sleep in a darkened room and later on a bright electric light wakes you up. The terminal was new, a triumphant display of architectural modernism in Scandinavian interpretation. There was a somewhat clinical atmosphere, but also a spiritual warmth that kept it in check. It grew out of the soft curves and natural materials, the abundant use of wood, the soft linoleum, the light, muted colours, gold, bronze, chamois, ivory. And then the lavatory, clean, incredibly clean. She entered the cubicle and pulled her ski pants and underpants down to her knees, sitting herself down. A glance at the sanitary towel told her she was wrong.
"It had still not started. Damn," she exclaimed inwardly. It was now 3 days overdue, and she always got it regularly.
Her only recollection of something similar came from an occasion where she had actually been pregnant. She sat still for a moment, turning ice cold all over as the surroundings started to blur. Tried to think logically. There could be other reasons why. She wanted to change the towel, but there was the usual problem of what to do with the used one. It was just another of those issues no one ever addressed but suffered in solitude. A lack of information. In the end, she pulled out a long strip of toilet paper, rolled the towel into it and put it in her handbag. It was nice and soft, the paper, far from the usual stiff brown public type that scratched you and absorbed no better than greaseproof paper. Paradoxically, the lavish environment here at the airport's new main building made her think of more primitive conditions under foreign skies, or more specifically, her last overseas assignment 3 months ago in the small town of Joensuu in Finnish Karelia. The railway hotel with the town's first and so far only flush toilet, the sign on the wall explaining how to work this newfangled installation. She had stood for a long time chewing her way through the phrasebook text, so it had seemed rather comical when the meaning finally dawned on her. And 2 days after the shocking and macabre culmination of her mission, the train journey back to Helsinki. It had snowed as she boarded the BOAC plane to London. The airport staff parked a lorry with a large tank on its back next to the plane and sprayed a dark green liquid over the wings. "So she won't freeze up," the steward had explained to the passengers as he himself shivered from the cold. There was something appealing about the notion of being defrosted and warmly soaked, turned green as a spring day. But it was winter here in Kastrup too, a clammy grey Danish late winter day in March 1948. She started walking towards the baggage reclaim area. Most of her fellow passengers from London stood there waiting. The elderly brandy-smelling gentleman she had been sitting next to during the flight gave her a parting nod as he received his suitcase. Two porters in white caps, navy blue jackets and baggy light brown trousers were unloading a handcart. One stood on the platform and handed down suitcases to the other, who placed them on a low counter. A third man, also in a dark jacket and a white cap, but wearing a pair of less workmanlike trousers, handed the luggage over to the passengers and made some notes in a large logbook. Again, you had to present your passport and ticket, but finally the porters had taken everything off the cart and handed it over. All the passengers left the area, except her. She had still not received her luggage. So she turned to the man with the logbook and asked, "Are you certain that was all?"
"Are you missing something?"
"Well, I obviously am. My suitcase."
He turned his head to look at the two porters.
"The young lady here says she hasn't received her suitcase."
One of the porters shrugged. The other one shook his head a fraction.
"Perhaps it fell off the cart on the way in,"
Anita said.
"That would be the first time."
"Then what might be the problem?"